Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above today, October 29th, 2020. Wow, another day gone. And we're looking, you know, toward the end of another month. And luckily, at the end of this month, we have a very full moon. And I'm hoping that full moon is going to enlighten us in some way, shape, or form, helping us to put in perspective, perhaps, some of the experiences that we've had over the last several months, and set the tone, perhaps, for what comes next. Now, I think tomorrow we'll dive more into that full moon and what it means and all the aspects, et cetera, things to watch out for, because today I want to do some card readings with my new deck, the Halloween Oracle. And I think that's appropriate given that we're just 2 days out from Halloween. And I want to have some time to be able to do that, especially because today's not that transit heavy or aspect heavy, but we do have some things to talk about in terms of the day. The moon is in Aries today and making contacts with Mars in a conjunction and also a square to Jupiter and Pluto. So we'll want to know how to work through that. I also want to take some time and read our stories. We have forgotten to do these, or we haven't had time to do these. And I think it's a great time before we shift again tomorrow or the next day into the next week till the 30th. So we have, today's the 29th. So today's the day. We got to learn the lessons, right? And then we will talk about today's Pleiadian energy as it is the last day of our spiral of consciousness. It's 13. So it's ascension day, right? It's completion. It's like illuminating. And we are sitting at 13 feeling. So it is also taking us into more and more emotional intelligence. So we'll talk a bit about what that means today. So let me first say good morning to everybody. I saw Asa just popped in. Thank you so much for being here and helping out. Good morning, Ingrid and Elisa and J-Lo. So good to see you out there. Pauline, good to see you. And anybody else who checks in here in the next few minutes, good morning to you as well. There's Asa out there to be able to help get me the answer or get me the questions so that I can answer your questions if you have them. But let's first start today then with the moon in Aries. Yay, right? The moon in Aries. It is emotions and conflict, or fire and water. So we have both energies today that can make for a steaminess, both in our personal realm, but also from other people around us, and also, of course, in the outer world. Today, the moon's first access point is in a conjunction to Mars retrograde. So I want to talk about that. But first, I want to tell you a little bit of a story, something that happened yesterday. And I so wish I had all the words that I could tell you this story with, but I thought it would be a breach of confidence with the person involved. So I didn't want to do that exactly. But what she did yesterday was so profound that I just feel like I need to share it with all of you. So, you know, we've been talking with Mars in retrograde about reimagining ourselves, right? About looking really deeply at what it is that we think we desire, right? Be it a new home, a new job, a relationship, good health, financial abundance, a career, whatever it is that you have believed or have thought was your desire, was up for reevaluation during this period of time. Ever since Mars actually moved into retrograde, which was back, in September, October? We're in October, so it was September. And giving us this opportunity to make sure that we're really aligned with what we think we want. And when you get right down to it, if you're not aligned with what you truly want, what was the job? Right? Let it go. Move into the direction that was opening up for you. Well, fast forward last week, I believe it was, I did a reading for a friend of mine. It was her birthday. So this was a solar return. And the word visionary was written all over her solar return. Everywhere I looked, it was all about the creation of a dream, a vision, of aligning with that dream, aligning with that vision. And I was like, wow, it's almost like you're just right in keeping with the actual energy of the world, the template of what's happening thematically in the outer world. Well, of course, that was true because her rising sign is Aries. And so everything was beginning in Aries and moving all the way through the zodiac, just like the natural wheel, right? So it was like, oh yeah, duh. That's why that's happening for her. But yesterday, so back a little bit, the conversation during her reading was all about really getting clarity around what she wanted. And I think sometimes this is the Achilles heel that we all have, right? Because we don't know what we really want. We think we want financial abundance, let's say, but is that really true? I mean, is that what you truly want? Or is it that you want to be able to feel safe and secure financially? Because that's a little different story than chasing dollars for no reason at all, right? If you wanted to be healthy and you're putting that out there to the universe, but you're not exercising, you're not eating good, and you're not sleeping well, is that really in alignment with good health? So we talked through this in many different ways in her life. And I know the one thing that she truly, truly desires is having a beloved relationship, right? Someone that is her soulmate, her true partner in life. And she went through an exercise the other day that I just think is so fabulous that I want to share it with you. She was deciding what she decided that her desire was to have this partner. And she wasn't just going to say that to the universe that this is, I want a loving partner. So what she did was took herself through a process of envisioning who she wanted and what they did together, how they felt together, how he treated her, how she treated him, and how all of that relationship energy would look like. And she wrote it into a story, right? She wrote it into what was probably 3 or 4 paragraphs at least of this beautiful vision. And I had to text her back this morning and say, I just want you to know how profound that was in creating the vision that you have for yourself. So while we're in these last couple of weeks of Mars in retrograde, take the time, instead of, you know, whining about what you don't have, or how things aren't going your way, write it into creation, right? Write it into creation. Speak it into creation, even if you want to. You don't have to take the time to write it, but she did. And literally, when she ends up on dating sites, she's actually going to put that vision up there. And I found that to be quite profound as well, because the calibration, the vibration, the frequency of those words are going to draw in the right partner, right? The match to her dream. So it's a reminder to all of us right now that we are frequencies, that we are vibrating at specific frequencies, and that frequency has an attractive force as well as a repelling force, right? So we might be focused on a specific thing. And while we're focused on that specific thing, we're vibrating and opening up to attracting that. But at the same time, the energy is leaving back or repelling the things that don't match that. So you can imagine that if your energy or your mind and your feelings and your heart are all focused on something negative, like I don't have this and I don't have that, or I don't want that, then you are actually energizing that frequency, that vibration to be attracted to you. So this is our time, right? This is our time to really be clear, both with our mind and our heart or our emotions, on what it is that we truly desire. Are you in true alignment with that? And worse yet, and this is more my problem, right? My problem is that I don't know what I want. Sometimes it's just so unclear what I want. Do I have any real true desires, right? And what did I think I really wanted? And is that what I really wanted? And all of that. So for me, the problem is more about taking the time to actually consider what I want. So that may be some of you as well. Maybe you're experiencing that. You don't know what you truly want. So you're getting this mixed bag of things occurring in your life. It's funny because earlier in the year, say about kind of like when COVID launched, I was very clear about what I wanted. I had my new moon thing sitting here and I was so clear and I so focused on that. Now I couldn't even tell you what's on that piece of paper. Well, okay, I let that one go, right? So again, we have this exquisite opportunity right now. And days like today just remind us of the emotional connection and what it is that we're feeling and how it is attracting to us. So for example, this is a great example. When your mind is on something that you don't have. So remember a few weeks ago, I told you like I had this series of three things financially that just came in and bumped into me. And I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? And my first reaction, if I had to be honest, was fear, right? Oh my God, what does this mean? You know, the letter from the IRS and you're like, do I really want to open that? And those kinds of fear reactions are based on an old pattern that I had. So I had to look at that pattern and I had to release that pattern and I had to even, and just make friends with it, right? Okay, I see. Yeah, that's been the dominant fear in my lifetime. And now we're going in this direction, right? I'm moving in a different direction. So the mind immediately goes to someplace and then the emotions follow. So if your mind is focused on fear, your mind is focused on all the, you know, the bugaboos that could happen, then your emotions begin to tell you where you're out of alignment with that. So for example, your emotions start really chugging along and now you're feeling mad or upset or frustrated. Why is this showing up again? And good God, you know, can't you stop sending me letters from the IRS or whatever? And you begin to really resonate with that anger or that fear energy. In that moment, right, that I even heard those thoughts moving through my head, and I began to feel that old feeling in the pit of my stomach, I chose to think differently and I chose to feel differently. The emotions cued me in to where I was about to go down that path of victimhood again, right? Or the blame shame game, the guilty conscience, or whatever it is that we, you know, come up with. So using your emotional energy, the emotions, what you're feeling as a compass or a barometer of where are you out of alignment with between your thoughts and your heart. So that's emotional intelligence, right? That's what we're after instead of the emotional reactivity, which I did engage in at first, right? I got the letter and I'm like, can I just go throw it in the trash can? But better sense, probably should open that letter. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was, but that initial reaction was, you know, of shock. And right now we're all getting these shocks because now as the moon is in conjunction to Mars, it's also sitting at the gate of shock, right? So we have moon and Mars sitting at shock. And there may be things that are coming up for us today, tomorrow, even, and into the full moon on Saturday that might feel shocking to us, even into next week. As you know, the USA, we're facing an election. There could be some shocking things that occur around that. We have to be prepared to stay in alignment, to let your emotions tell you when you're not in the right place, right? Your emotions tell you what it is that you're really focused on. Is it negative? If so, then you're feeling lethargic or you're feeling down or you're feeling blue or you're feeling mad or you're feeling conflicted. All of those kinds of things tell you, okay, you're focused in the wrong territory. Move over here, back to the heart. And the heart feels joy. The heart feels complete. The heart feels safe. And those types of emotions tell you something also, that that's the direction you need to move into. All right. So that's a big thing today. And so your true heart and your true desires, you're working on that. You're using your emotional responses or your emotions to tell you whether you're moving in the right direction or the wrong direction so that you can reimagine yourself, right? It takes very little effort to move. In fact, I think it takes more effort to be angry, upset, mad, depressed than it takes to be happy. And truly, I mean, even scientists will tell you it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. So there's got to be something there. Our natural way of being is much more to the joyful side. Remember, joy in your human design isn't an emotion. It's not on that emotional center. It's on the root center. It is a foundational energy that we as human beings have. Joy, bliss, vitality, right? So remember that in the heat of the moment, you always have the choice of what it is that you want to feel. Or your feelings can tell you where it is that your mind is focused in the wrong direction, and you can call it back, right? Recognize it, thank it, your ego's doing a good job, and then move in a different direction. Today is a good day to start fresh with the new or defined dream or vision. What would you want to dream for yourself, right? Maybe it's not the day to take the steps to actually go in that direction, but the dreaming part is what we need, right? Can we dream a new reality for this country, for this planet, for this universe? I think we can. I think we can. And I think we definitely need to work on that. Today, the moon is also squaring Jupiter and Pluto. And that means that situations that we face during the day might pull to the surface some of that more negative stuff, right? That it's like this whirlwind. Remember, Pluto rules the underworld. Jupiter is looking for us to expand in a stepwise fashion. Well, one step is to take a look at what is under the hood, what's in the underbelly, what's driving the patterns in your life that maybe aren't so positive, right? That you can look at. So expect your inner conflicts, irritations, frustration, anger, even resentment to come bubbling up to the surface. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. Look at it. Where is it coming from? What is it related to? What's going on in your life right now? What does it remind you of? And then be able to choose again, a new direction, right? A new direction, a new way of being, a new way of feeling. This is all about healing and releasing. This isn't to beat you up. This isn't to make you mad or upset or to make you wrong. It isn't about that at all. It's really about just being clean and clear and choosing what you want to experience in this life. So that doesn't mean that challenges won't still come up. I'm still going to get those letters, or I'm still going to have those things that happen that go, but at the same time, I have new skills that allow me to greet that challenge in a way that doesn't create more and more of that coming to me, right? Or more of what I don't want to happen with that coming to me. So I hope that makes sense for everybody. Overall, watch out today for making quick decisions with Mars involved. We may feel that frustration. And we just like, oh, you know, bleep it. I'm going to go do it anyway. Right. So we might feel a little bit impatient. We might feel like we have to move forward anyway, even though everything else is telling us not to. Remember that it's the small things like gratitude, like appreciation, that make a world of difference to you, but also to the people around you. A simple thank you, I appreciate you, or you make my day, that kind of thing can go a long way to changing up the energy that we're feeling. All right. Notice that we're expending a lot of energy talking about feelings, and there's a real good reason for that. Before I get to that, let's go over here and see. God bless America. My eyes are blurry this morning. Let's see who else is out there. Mimi, hello. And Asa, Kathleen, hello. Allison D, Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel, good morning. Adrian Jones, peace, blessings, manifestations, and fortification to you, friends. I love it. Leslie Zuber, good morning to you. J-Lo, that makes so much sense to me. And she says, why I find things pretty easy when I go into Ancestry or even when I go into certain sites, other things pop up that I'm searching for because I'm doing so many things at once. You know, there's also a part of our brain. It's probably the reptilian part of our brain that is called the reticular activating system, the RAS. And it is the part of your brain that when you're focused on something allows other things that match that picture to come to you. So for example, you buy a new car and it's this beautiful red, whatever it is. And before you know it, everywhere you go, you see red cars just like yours. And you're like, man, I thought I was being unique. But what's happened is you are focused on this new car and you're focused on what you're driving. And now you begin to see it everywhere. So the reticular activating system in your brain, and you scientist people out there might be able to help back this up, tends to show you what it is that you are focused on. So So if you're focused on the negative, then the slant that your brain is even helping to bring to you is the negative, right? The ugly, the frustrating, the maddening, etc. And have you ever paid attention to when you have something that happens to you first in the morning and it sets the tone for the day? Like you're like, oh God, it's going to be a horrible day. Well, now the brain sets about to start bringing you and the experiences that are going to shore that up. Unless, of course, you change that thought and you go, you know what? I don't have to have a bad day because of this. This is a blip on the screen of the day and everything else from now on is going to be awesome. Boom. Right? The reticular activating system is now bringing you different experiences. So there's the physical part of our brain that is engaged in doing that, as well as this universal energy of manifestation that is also bringing you the law of attraction, bringing you what it is that you're focused on. So it makes complete and total sense that when you're looking at something deeply, intensely involved in something, it comes to you. You don't even have to do a whole lot of effort to go looking for it. Sometimes, as J-Lo's saying, it just pops up on the screen. Oh, look, I found another sister. I found another brother. That's what happened to me for the longest time. J-Lo says, it's 11:11. I love it. Jennifer Peachy, good morning. And Christine Buckingham, good morning. Cosmic Calibri, hello. She says, morning, how is life in the USA? Hasn't been easy in Mexico, understanding why people desperately try to cross the wall. Feel the big need for all to tune into the emotional intelligence and compassion. Definitely. We've been beat down, right, over time. And it's seemingly beat down, but, you know, our spirit is strong. Sending love and light your way, Cosmic Calibri from J-Lo. And of course, I'm sure everyone around is doing that as well. Kathleen, J-Lo says, have faith. I love it. I don't know why YouTube decided to blank that out. Because that's an awesome thing to share with everybody. Andy Girl, good morning. From Sylvester and I. Good, love it. Cosmic Calibri says, thanks at Asa. So J-Lo says, yes, tell my kids that switch it to the positive with the little memes that have funny faces to make them happy. I mean, it is really just something so simple, right? Sometimes, you know, it's just the simple thing that makes someone's day. And of course, emotionally, I'm not advocating for not feeling those emotions that come up that aren't so happy. That's not what I'm advocating for. I'm really advocating for emotional intelligence, because right now the planet is in this sort of shadow energy of this emotional field that's got ups and downs and ups and downs, high highs, low lows, and every point in between. And wouldn't it be nice to bring it more to a neutral? So before that, each of us vomited out our emotional tirade at somebody, we stopped, we breathed, and then we chose how it is we're going to respond to whatever the stimulus was that we've encountered. And the reason why I'm focusing quite a bit on this today is because we're at the 13th day in our human, in our Pleiadian Earth energy. It's all human design, right? In our Pleiadian Earth energy today, we've come to the last day on the spiral of consciousness, right? We're about to ascend. We're ascending, moving upward into the next level of our evolution and our consciousness. And that completion energy is here for us. It is that time, that 13 energy, where we go within and we ruminate, we sit with, and we think about, or we feel our way through everything that's happened these previous 12 days and bring all of those things into focus. Remember, this round of the evolution of consciousness began at one evolving. And evolving is just that. What have we come through in those last 13 days? And how does it apply to our lives? And now we're in preparation for the next level. And the next level starts tomorrow at one devoting. Devoting energy. I love that. Dog energy. Dog in the Mayan calendar. But today's energy we end at is the energy of feeling. Feeling energy, right? Feeling in the Mayan calendar was Muluk, and it was represented by water. Water meaning the representation of memory and emotion and cycles of emotion, etc. So feeling energy, along with 13 ascension, says get clear of your emotions. Be flexible and fluid by responding to what is challenging you or what is showing up moment by moment, rather than knee-jerk reaction to what is showing up in each moment. Even though we may still feel these powerful feelings, right? We may still feel that powerful fear in the face of something that goes on. Our job is to learn to examine those feelings and then to change ourselves, not the other, not the stimulus, to change ourselves by not reacting to it, by responding to it, by not blaming, including God. We blame God sometimes, right? Others and, situations and so forth. Don't blame, but take responsibility for yourself and your own feelings. Pay attention to your emotional state and choose to change any thoughts, beliefs, patterns that have kept you to the lower frequency, the lower vibration, to those lower energies. No one else can change that for you, right? No one else. You could know your astrology. You could know your human design. You could know everything there is to know about your Pleiadian earth energy. But if you don't take responsibility for your own self, you're still going to face those same problems and you're still going to face those same situations that have always triggered you, right? If this is about evolving, moving ahead, moving forward. We have to grow up, right? This is a process humanity's been facing for a while, but it's just been in our recent past where the sort of puppet masters, I hate to use that word, but puppet strings, if you will, have been sort of cut. We have all the tools now, right? The energy of evolution has already bestowed upon us everything we need to become responsible. We don't need any more new things coming in because we have it all. Now it's just maturing it. Now it's just bringing it out and living it, right? That's what we are working on here. Every time we go through this spiral, we come up against certain things and we move through them. And I love the idea that this is a conscious evolution, but I know that even unconsciously, things are happening to everybody to push this evolution, right? To cause us to grow up, to wake up, to awaken to our true potential, to our true selves. All right. Questions about that, Asa? I wasn't even looking at my phone. Nope, I don't see any questions. Awesome. So let me go back to comments, see if anybody's thinking anything else about that. Nothing new here. Good. So let's do our Wisdom Keeper story, and then I can launch into doing some readings. How's that? Okay. Thank you, J-Lo, for that reminder. Please take a moment, hit the thumbs up button if you're enjoying the video. Feel free to subscribe to the video and share the video with others. I've also added something new, and this was many years people have asked me, is there a way I can just donate to you? And I've always resisted that. At one point, I did have a little donation button up, but yesterday I discovered that that has been made very easy. So underneath the video in the description, you'll find a link to a donation place where you can make a one-time donation, small, big, it doesn't matter. It's just if you value my work and you want to see it able to continue, all donations are appreciated, or get a reading because that also helps support my work. Okay, now let's look at the story. This week, remember the sun is sitting at the gate 28, the shadow of which is purposelessness. Say that 10 times fast. And on the earth side, she is at the gate 27, which is a gate of nurturing. So what I want to look at first, or altruism is another word that we can use here. Let's look first at the earth, which is at the gate 27, because she's going to bring up the challenge for us to have to merge through in order to see the full benefits of the sun at the gate 28. So in order to find true purpose, we're going to have to play with altruism, right? So the earth is sitting at the gate 27, the gate of altruism. The shadow is selfishness. The gift is altruism. And the siddhi is selflessness, right? The highest expression of this energy. Doesn't she just look so cute? To give to others simply for the sake of giving activates healthy currents deep within your body. I love it. Okay, so I'm gonna have to put her down so I can actually read this. Sorry. Here is the wisdom story. And by the way, remember, this is from the Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook written by Rosie Aronson. And she has these cards that go with this little book. And she also has other materials that can help teach you about human design as well, and more about the gene keys. My wisdom story says, my people look down upon selfishness. Status and respect were earned through generous giving and personal sacrifice, not through self-centered accumulating and individual achievements. From the moment I could hold something in my hands, I learned to give it away. On birthdays, I gave gifts to my guests. When participating in ceremony, I gave gifts to my teacher and those around me. When I became a young woman, I served my family willingly and without complaint. But there were times when I was expected to give and I felt taken advantage of and disrespected. Even though I felt angry and resentful inside, I gave anyway, because that's what good community members did. Sometimes I found myself giving because I secretly wanted something from someone else, their respect, their love, their admiration, or their gratitude. Once I worked for several days preparing a meal for the whole village when what I really wanted to be doing was swimming in the river with my brothers. My self-sacrifice seemed to go unnoticed and unappreciated. Without realizing it, I pounded my frustration into the tortillas that I made. When some of the villagers got ill after the meal, I felt just horrible. As I was about to confess to the elders that my self-centered heart had poisoned the food, my grandmother, a master gardener, stood up and told the community that she hadn't properly tended to the corn and that the belly aches were her fault. Then she winked at me and pointed me in the direction of the river. That evening, as I floated and looked up at the moon, I realized that my grandmother had taught me the meaning of true altruism. My gift to you. It is time to look honestly at your relationship to giving. Are you giving from your heart, or are you giving away your power? Are you giving without attachment or with a hidden agenda? What did you learn during the first 7 years of your life about selfishness and selflessness? I ask you to be intuitive in your giving. Give to causes and to people who are fertile, who can make use of the gifts they receive. If you are feeling angry or resentful, do not give. Not yet. Wait until your heart opens. Practice random acts of kindness whenever possible, and your sincere altruism will bring more joy and abundance into your life than you can possibly imagine. Now, here are questions for contemplation, and there are quite a few. So we're going to be deep thinkers today. Where are you sacrificing yourself in ways that aren't healthy for you? Where are you giving with strings? Have you ever given too much of yourself and then resented it later? How can you better care for yourself so you can give from a full cup? Where and with whom do you find it most difficult to set healthy limits? Where and with whom do you tend towards selfishness? If you weren't feeling so guilty, what might you do differently or do less of? When have you felt the most selfless in your actions? What are you feeling genuinely grateful for right now? Write it in your journal. Do something nice for someone today without them knowing it. It's good for your health. I love it. So that's our Earth challenge, to give with an open heart. But I think part of that lesson too is about giving to oneself, right? Filling your cup. If you're giving from an empty cup, you're poisoning the gift, right? Okay. So that's the Earth. The Sun is at the gate 28, which is the gate of totality in the gift. In the Siddhi, it is immortality. I forgot. This is a gate that is afraid that we're going to die, right? Or knows we're going to die, but we're afraid of the end. So it's about totality. And the shadow is purposelessness. But look at that little face, little chubby cheeks, beautiful rose, some great Sanskrit symbols there. Love it. All right. So let's read this story. So again, this one is the shadow of purposelessness, the gift of totality, and the city of immortality. There is a deep sense of thrill that comes as you progressively face your inner demons. I can attest to that one. My wisdom story. I was a sensitive, fearful child. I looked around me and saw all that could go wrong. I could lose someone I loved. An earthquake could hit. A bomb could go off. I could fall and hurt myself. I could get sick. My heart could break. Wherever I looked, I felt unsafe. As I grew older, I became obsessed with life, or rather with avoiding death. At first, I focused on safety and survival. I worked hard to stay healthy, to make money, to build a home, and to become a pious member of the community. Though I seemed happy and at ease to others, I felt hollow inside. Deep down, I knew I was meant to do more with my life, but I was afraid to do it. I was waiting for a readiness that never seemed to come. The quality of my fears began to change. I became less worried about not making a living and more worried about having no reason to live. I began experiencing night terrors. As soon as my head hit the pillow, I was chased down, struck by gremlins, and obliterated by natural disasters. I started avoiding sleep, too afraid to close my eyes. Instead, wide-eyed and reckless, I hurled myself into activity after activity, determined to fill up my life with meaning and a sense of security. If I could only take more risks or do more or do it faster, I thought. So I bought a bicycle and tore down the street without a helmet. My gambling behavior landed me in the hospital. For months, I was forced to be still with eyes closed and nothing but my inner demons to keep me company. As I was lying there immobilized, I had no choice but to face the multitude of fears I had been trying to escape ever since I was a child. My fear of pain, of pleasure, of the part of the past, of the future, of failure, of success, of life, of death, of non-existence, of purposelessness. It wasn't until I gave myself fully to the fear that the strangest thing happened. All of my senses heightened and an inexplicable sense of aliveness welled up in my heart, and I was overcome by the eternal nature of my human spirit. From that moment on, I've trusted life and committed myself unconditionally to whatever it brought me. My gift to you, it is time to stop postponing your life and to embrace the entirety of it, the pain as much as the pleasure. I bring you the gift of totality. I ask you to surrender yourself entirely to life's mystery. In this moment, close your eyes, be still, listen with ever-widening ears. If possible, move willingly towards the dark. You will soon discover that your demons are only divine messengers in disguise. As you wholeheartedly make friends with adversity, you will find yourself feeling increasingly unfettered. When you are no longer afraid of death, you will finally be free to do what you've come here to do. Leave an eternal mark on this planet with the golden ink of your heart. That's very poetic. To be alive is to be here now. Fully. That is all. Questions for contemplation. Is there an inner demon you have been refusing to face? Are you constantly in motion? Do you engage in risky behavior in order to escape from how you feel inside? Are you terrified of being still? What are you scared of? Are you forever looking for your life purpose? Do you know what it is but can never follow through? When was the last time you felt deeply aligned with your purpose or connected to the totality of existence? Write, this is always interesting, write your own eulogy. Find a creative way to honor your own immortality. Share what you write with someone you love. Great stories. Great, great, great stories. And, you know, these are stories that are really important, especially the son's story that we just read, for those of you who are what we would consider millennials, early millennials, as well as the ones that are in the later category, because you had major planets sitting at the gate 28. And that particular generation is in reaction often to that feeling of purposelessness, where they're moving from one thing to another because they just don't feel that it's correct for them, which is not the wrong thing for them to do, but it might be being driven by this fear of everything is not, there's no reason for life, right? There's no reason for them to be here. So it is definitely one of those kinds of things that we can work through right now, and how perfect that we're at a 13 day where we can go within and we can work with that. All right. I see Aces popping up already with readings, card readings. So let's take a look here. How do I get rid of that? So if we go to card readings, Cosmic Calibri looking for understanding as to why she's feeling she's not in the right place and the right time. So Cosmic, what I would say to you with that is it's possibly located in your human design, especially if you have an open identity center. The open identity center is very geographically sensitive, and that geographic sensitivity can cause you, when you're living in an area that isn't correct for you, to not thrive, right? It's kind of the symbolic, you're in the wrong place energy. So that might be the problem. Let's take a look, because ultimately Halloween time and fear and all of these things are calls to what needs to be transformed in your life. So Cosmic, I'm going to pull you a Halloween oracle. And I just love this. Look at the picture on the cover. I mean, I might, and look at all the Halloween symbols, the witch's hat, the bat, the pumpkin, the broom. I love it. I just love it. Thank you, Debbie, for bringing this to my attention. I didn't even know such a creature existed out there in the world. And here it is. Okay, so Cosmic, here's the card for you. Zombie. I know these things kind of sound scary, right? Zombie, underneath that is the word control. Control. So let's see. I have no clue what this might mean. But let's read it, shall we? Okay. There's a little poem that goes with each card, apparently. The dead arise, voices a mumbling. After our brains, our screams, they are tumbling. The dead arise, voices a mumbling. After our brains, our screams, they are tumbling. Okay, good. Zombies have become quite the fashion recently, much like vampires. Turn on the television and you can't escape the moaning and groaning of these, the living dead. And yes, they do seem to be after your brains. There are even public zombie walks where people dress up as zombies and appear en masse on roads and in cities. But zombies are not merely a fun icon of popular culture. Traditionally, they are mainly associated with the African and Haitian voodoo religion. Zombies are said to be dead bodies reanimated by incantations chanted by a learned practitioner called a bokor, and they usually are enlivened for a purpose. The practitioner is said to capture part of a living soul to animate the body, and that it is always a temporary action as the soul cannot be contained in that decomposing body for long, or God will take the soul back. One of the most frightening aspects of the idea of zombieism is the idea of our souls and consciousness being trapped inside a body that does not do our bidding, but someone else's. Another is the idea of being buried alive, the fate of some, it is said, who get trapped in already dead bodies. Should the zombie step unsteadily into your life, it's time to look at the concept of control. Do you want to control everything, leaving little to free expression? Do you choose partners who are not your equal so that they are more easily manipulated and changed to your liking? Or do you allow that to happen to you? If you are not living your most authentic life, it's time to look at why and how to change that. Sounds to me, Cosmic, like the power of this lies within you, right? And that's a very profound card, I think, in that case. All right. Debbie Tippett's Two Meal. Of course you can have a Halloween reading, girlfriend. Let's do this. It's a perfect card. Perfect deck for this time of year. And of course, the other decks are all available. We've got the dogs. We've got the dragons. We've got wisdom, galactic goddesses, Mayan. You guys can have anything you want today. But I just thought it was fun to share this deck first. Debbie, you get the Skull of Darkness. Blind spots is the meaning of the card. So let's see. Is this in, yeah, alphabetical order? Here we go. Here's your little poem. We can stay in the dark, exist only in the midnight hours, but shining the torch the victory is ours. As the famous psychotherapist Jung suggested, knowing our own darknesses helps us cope with the darknesses of others. Take the time to know thyself and to seek understanding of our more destructive or shadow natures can lead to huge happiness and less anxiety. The idea of being shown the way in the most difficult of times and always knowing that we are never alone in the darkness are keys to this magical element. Light is usually a comforting thing, yet sometimes we do not really want to see the boogeyman under the bed. It is too scary, too big, and we know not how to defeat it. Yet by simply shining the torch upon such darkness, the victory is ours. Should the skull of light enter your life, know that it is time to open yourself fully to the clarity of bright illumination. Allow yourself to be seen, to see, and to act upon what is shown to you. The time has passed for hiding, for pretending, and for swallowing our discomfort by accepting the status quo when it really doesn't suit us. Well, Debbie, be a change agent. Get out there and shake up the world. Dance your dance. All right. Let's see who was next after Debbie. It was J-Lo. J-Lo wants a Halloween card. I love it. So it looks like everybody's interested. Now, there's probably more people out there now. So if you want a reading, please let Asa know. She will get it to me. The next ones I have are J-Lo, Pauline, and Catherine. Or Kathleen, maybe? I'm not sure. Catherine? Kathleen. All right, so J-Lo. Graveyard, unnecessary fear. Here's what that card looks like. Rest in peace, fear. Rest in peace, unnecessary fear. So graveyard is back this way. Isn't this fun? Here's the poem. The stones, they mark the eternal resting place, yet the spirits, they are walking and they are ready for the chase. Today's modern graveyards are restful places, normally highly manicured and very well set out. Whilst they can be places of profound sadness, few are the creepy gothic places of old, yet they still hold an undercurrent of fear and seem like frightening places. Due to countless stories of haunted graveyards, the thought of walking through cemeteries evokes fear in many of us. We imagine zombies and ghosts rising from the graves and bad spirits hiding out, waiting to harm an unsuspecting living person who walks by. The idea of being at a graveyard after dark, or worse, at midnight, is the stuff of dares and nightmares. But this isn't the way with every culture. On the Mexican Day of the Dead, whole families picnic on the graves of their loved ones who have passed. Children play upon the graves, people play music, drink wine, and share food, all in the company of the dead. Graveyard dust is used as an ingredient in protective spells, not in curses. Pull this card and know that you fear unnecessarily. Things are not as they seem, and you can overcome your obstacles. The anxieties you have, although real, should be put aside before they haunt you long term. Instead, trust that you know the correct next steps and that you will act upon them. I love it. I got to tell you guys a graveyard story. So my youngest daughter, who's now 33, but at the time she was probably, I don't know, 15, maybe 16, had gone to a local graveyard with her friend whose mother had passed away, and they were there to put graves. They were there to put flowers on her grave. While my daughter was standing in the graveyard, she looked over and she saw a little girl standing by a tree. And she said to her friends, "I wonder why that little girl's just standing there." And her friends looked up and go, "What little girl?" And my daughter's like, "That little girl." And they couldn't see this little girl, but my daughter did. So later on, fast forward, later in the day, she's at home. She was at home. And we had a house with an upstairs, and the girls had bedrooms upstairs. And she was upstairs, and all of a sudden I heard a scream. And she comes running down the stairs. And she's so upset. She's like, "Where did that girl go?" This little girl had come home from the graveyard with her and had tried to get her attention by stepping on her powdered makeup, and her powdered makeup flew up. It was all over her from head to toe. And she had heard the little girl laughing and running down the stairs. So she came running down and said, "Who was just in my room? Who did that?" Crazy true. True stories from Janet's life. and my kids' lives where ghosts and spirits played with us. It was interesting. All right. So now card reading next for Pauline. Pauline at Crossroads. So she wants a Halloween card. Okay. So we'll do Halloween. And Christine, I see that you want a dog card. So we'll do that too. And anybody else? We have limit. I have 10 minutes still. Okay. So this is for Pauline. Okay, Pauline, you get graveyard too. Graveyard, unnecessary fear. Unnecessary fear. Shall I read it again just to drag that home? I'm wondering, right? This sort of is a theme that we were talking about already this morning. So unnecessary fear. The stones, they mark the eternal resting place. Yet the spirits, they are walking and they are ready for the chase. Today's modern graveyards are restful places, normally highly manicured and very well set out. Whilst they can be places of profound sadness, few are the creepy gothic places of old, yet they still hold an undercurrent of fear and seem like frightening places. Due to countless stories of haunted graveyards, the thought of walking through cemeteries evokes fear in many of us. We imagine zombies and ghosts rising from the graves and bad spirits hiding out, waiting to harm an unsuspecting living person who walks by. The idea of being at a graveyard after dark, or worse, at midnight, is the stuff of dares and nightmares. But this isn't the way with every culture. On the Mexican Day of the Dead, whole families picnic on the graves of their loved ones who have passed. Children play upon the graves. People play music, drink wine, and share food, all in the company of the dead. Graveyard dust is used as an ingredient in protective spells, not in curses. Pull this card and know that you fear unnecessarily. Things are not as they seem, and you can overcome your obstacles. The anxieties you have, although real, should be put aside before they haunt you long term. Instead, trust that you know the correct next steps and that you will act upon them. All right. Thank you, Pauline, for taking that one to the next level for all of us. It seems like that might be a theme for the community or the theme for the collective at the moment. Okay, so Kathleen. Okay, good. Got it. So Kathleen Mallory, I'm presuming this one is for you, the Halloween deck. And dawn, the light after the darkness. Kathleen, there you go. The dawn, light after the darkness, and a beautiful owl. All right, so let's see what that one means. Okay, so here's the little poem. After the darkest times, the sun will always rise. The dawn will always come. This can be no surprise. Whilst midnight is often thought of as a magical hour, throughout time, dawn has also had its share of the mystical. All manner of magical beings had to return to their true forms by dawn, werewolves, for example. And vampires could only be active whilst the rays of the sun did not pierce the sky. Dawn and deities of dawn heralded both hope and new life. Goddesses such as Esther and gods like Helios and Apollo were those who brought new life and the dawn's light to the world. The journey from the darkest night of the soul to a bright and hopeful dawn is one of the deepest and most powerful heroes' paths repeated over and over in mythology. Should you receive the dawn card, you are being reminded that there is always a fresh start and a new beginning to be had. Change is unstoppable, and even the most difficult times will pass, no matter how devastating they may seem. Hope is one of the most powerful motivating forces in the universe, and it's being indicated here. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. So that was for you, Kathleen. Christine wants dog cards, the dog pack. Let's see how the dogs want to speak to us today. So Christine Buckingham, this is for you. You get Greyhound Sensitive. Look at the beautiful little face, right? Greyhound Sensitive. Let's see what that means. The Greyhound. Are you taking things too personally? Is everything about you? Do you need everything to be just right in order to feel comfortable? Be aware that nothing people do is because of you. What individuals do and say is a projection of themselves. When you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. Expecting everyone to meet your needs and do things the way you think they should be done is unrealistic and self-centered. Are you expecting too much of yourself and therefore others? Is it time to let go of being responsible for everyone else's actions? This is possible when you live in the present moment. When people expect too much of themselves, they naturally have impractical expectations of others. Greyhound's advice: letting go of control and expectations is a choice you can make. That seems thematic to the day as well, doesn't it? Okay. Well, anybody else after that one? No, I don't see anything else there. Let me go back over here and take a look at what's going on. Pauline says, funny, now looking forward to channeling my ancestors for messages and assistance. I love it. My girls always see a little girl. I've never seen her weird. Not weird. I've never seen her either, but I can tell you from many experiences with my own children, how psychic and mystical and magical the world around us is. I mean, the world is always showing that to me and to others. It's just amazing. Death is one of those experiences that seems to be a trigger in my life for mystical experiences. And I'm always reminded at this time of year when, you know, Halloween is right here and that veil between the living and what we consider the dead is very thin, and we can see through that veil and experience perhaps, you know, that concept of death or dying or transformation personally, right? So what do we want to personally transform? That's the gift of this particular time of the season, letting something die so that something new can take its place. And yeah, so there we have that. All right, guys. Asa, do I have any other readings people want out there? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm opening up all kinds of windows here. Boom. There we go. There's the right window. Asa from the Halloween Goddess at Pauline Blenner. Okay, so I got that one. And Kathleen, love that. Christine says, oh, my daughter's dog is part greyhound. Thanks. I typically don't expect anything from anyone. Have recently been attending a Zoom codependent group. Love it. So maybe that's just validation that you're on the right path there. So there you go. Okay, guys, I'm off to do a million things for the day. I wish you all peace and happiness and dream, right? Dreams. Today, take some time, reimagine yourself. Look at your fears. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to go there. Look at the fear and see how it's been holding you back, or see what you've been resisting transforming in your life. All right. Mwah! Much love to all of you. See you tomorrow.